Hi, I'm Brad Linscott from the PFE team here at Microsoft Support, continuing our series on .NET debugging for the production environment. Now, for those of you who may be new to the series, we want to stress that we are focusing on the production environment. So there won't be any Visual Studio here because Visual Studio is not a tool that we use to collect information from the production environment. We rely on other applications and tools that don't require reboot installed and that are a little bit more lightweight and can be automated. So without further ado, today's talk will focus on what do we do about a high CPU hang. This is not an uncommon problem to encounter in production. So when it happens, how do we identify it? What data do we collect, and how do we analyze that data? So I'm going to do a quick review on some other topics that I've covered before in some of the previous parts of this series. How do we identify and define a high CPU hang and verify that we have one? What kind of data do we collect, and what tools do we use? Followed by common debugging commands that we use when we analyze the dump. And then finally, I'll do a quick demo of how to put all of this together. So what's a high CPU hang? It's when you've got a single process that consumes usually 90-95% or more of the CPU on the box. Now, if it's a single-threaded application, you may find that on a multi-core box, it's not actually consuming a lot of the CPU across all the cores. It may be that it's consuming 95% or so of the CPU of one of the CPUs. Even though collectively, if that's one of, say, four CPUs, that's 25%, this would still be considered a high CPU hang because chances are code is stuck in a loop somewhere, or there's some kind of recursion that's causing the application to churn and use up all that CPU. Symptoms can include, most commonly, an application that's not responding at all, or it can be very, very slow to respond to requests. If it's a desktop application, you may also notice that other applications on the desktop, you have a very difficult time interacting with them because they may require some CPU, but if you've got a runaway process that's consuming all the CPU, it may not leave any left for the other applications on the box. A quick check to verify that you have one of these issues is to open up Task Manager, go to the Processes column, and search by the CPU, go to the Processes tab and search by the CPU column and see which one, if any, of the processes are consuming most or all of the CPU. So what kind of data do we collect for high CPU hangs? We talked about this before in one of the previous parts of this series. Ideally, if this is at your dev machine, you'd want to go ahead and do a live debug of it. You can attach Visual Studio and step through and break in to see which function are you in, and step through it to see if there's any kind of recursion. But this is often case not an option in a production environment. So really what we want is to get a couple of dumps, say 30 to 60 seconds apart. You can do this with any assortment of tools. A lot of our customers that we work with at Microsoft Support will use the debug diag tool that's been mentioned previously in this series. And you want to make sure you get two dumps about 30 seconds or so apart. And the idea here is that by the time the first dump finishes, you let the process that's consuming all the CPU have a chance to execute for 15, 20 seconds, something like that, before you start your second dump. This will allow us to look at the two dumps and compare the state of the threads in dump one to the state of the threads in dump two and get a delta. That will allow us to identify clearly which thread or threads are consuming the CPU and what they're doing. You can also get perfmon data. Ideally, if you have a perfmon log running before the high CPU behavior starts, it would have the process object and even the thread object in there so that you could verify, number one, that it is that there's a process that is consuming all the CPU, but also the pattern of CPU usage, whether it's a spiking behavior and it goes up and down, whether it's a slow rise to where it consumes all the CPU, or whether you have a situation that a process is consuming its normal amount of CPU, which might be very low, and then all of a sudden it hits some code path that causes it to spike up and use all the CPU. This is data that's nice to have. There are a lot of times to where we can determine from opening a dump file with no perfmon log what thread or threads are consuming the CPU, but sometimes we can't always make that determination. I mentioned in the previous slide that the definition of a high CPU hang is a single process that consumes all the CPU. I had a customer one time that called into Microsoft Support and said he was having a high CPU issue, and I worked with him to troubleshoot it, And I asked him to go ahead and get me a perf monolog that he starts it right away. Don't wait until the problem symptoms start. This allows us to get that trend leading up to the problem. And then when the problem does happen, I walked him through how to get a couple dump files for us. And when he sent in that information, before I ever looked at the dump, I looked at the perf monolog just to see what kind of pattern of CPU usage we had from the problem process. And what I found was that it wasn't actually a single process consuming all the CPU. Rather, it was about five or six processes combining together to use all the CPU. Now, if I had looked at the dump file beforehand, I could have spent a certain amount of time to looking at that dump to try to figure out who's using all this CPU. Maybe I wouldn't have been able to find a thread. Maybe I would have found a suspect thread and assumed that this was the culprit that was the root cause for all the CPU usage. But I always have a habit when I'm troubleshooting these high CPU issues to get a perf monlog to give me some context around the issue. And in that particular case, it saved me a lot of time, because without even looking at the dump file, I could tell that this wasn't an issue of a single process. Rather, it was a joint effort by many processes on the box. Also in perfmon, it can be very helpful to get the thread object, to collect the thread object. This will allow you to determine the identity of the thread that's consuming all the CPU. There are counters in the thread object that will tell you how much CPU each thread is consuming. Once you identify that thread, you can then go ahead and open up the dump file and switch directly to the thread that perfmon points out, or the threads, and start taking a look at their call stacks. One warning about getting the thread object, if this is a situation to where you can't reproduce the problem on demand, and it may happen once a day or it may happen two or three times a week, be very careful about using that thread object or logging that thread object to the perfmon log, because it can severely bloat the size of your perfmon log. It causes problems not just in trying to save that or transfer that data to a different server. It can also cost time just opening the perfmon log. You know, there are other tools that we have that you can use to scale down and strip out just counters of interest. But my experience has been that if this is a situation to where you don't know what time during the day the problem might happen, if it only happens once a day or less than once a day, then I usually will shy away from getting the perfmon log, because I also don't want the hard drive of a production machine to run out of disk space. I work with customers that a lot of times they have a limited amount of disk space on their hard drives, and it may be a situation to where this perfmon log can consume several hundred megs depending on what other counters it's logging and how long it's logging. But if you don't have a chance to start a perfmon log before the issue, if it's a situation to where there might be some panic in the air whenever the problem happens and there's some yelling and screaming going on to get the application back up and running, one dump file during high CPU usage can be enough to troubleshoot and find root cause of your issue. I've had many dumps before of high CPU where I'd only had one dump without a second dump to compare it to, and I didn't have any perfmon log, and I was still able to find root cause. It's not terribly uncommon, but the ideal data, if you can arrange it, is to get a perfmon log that starts before the problem and then get two dumps of the high CPU about 30 to 60 seconds apart. So we'll also review something that we've covered before in one of the previous parts of this series. What are some of the more common debugging commands that we can use when we're looking at the dump file of our high CPU issue? Bang runaway is a favorite simply because it will tell you the amount of CPU that each thread in the process has consumed since the process started up. One word of caution on using this command, though. Just because you see a certain thread or threads at the top of this list of bang runaway doesn't always mean that's your problem thread. A good example here would be of an ASP.NET application that's on a multi-core machine. By definition, he's going to use a flavor of the garbage collector called Server GC. And in that case, it's not terribly uncommon over an extended period of time, say many, many hours, for those GC threads to be the highest consumers of CPU, simply because they're doing what they're supposed to be doing, and it could be completely unrelated to your high CPU symptoms. This is where getting two dumps 30 to 60 seconds apart can really help, because you take a look at the bang runaway output from dump one compared to the output of dump two, and take a look at the delta, and you'll be able to find during the problem symptom which thread or threads were responsible for the problem, and it may not be your GC threads. To find the offending functions Within the process, you can use the stack and thread commands, any variant of K that we've talked about before for the native stacks, for the PSS cores, and I have Bang PSS Core X here simply because, as we've talked about before, if you're looking at a 2.0 application or a 3.0 application in .NET, you want to use PSS Core 2. You can also use the SOS that comes with the framework. If you're debugging a 4.0 application, you want to use PSS Core 4. So I use the X there depending on which version of the framework that you're using. And any other thread or stack commands to see what's happening in that particular thread or threads to cause the problem. Sometimes we need help finding the executing line of code. Let's say that you have you've got your data, you're pretty sure because you have, say, a couple dump files that always point to the same function. But the problem is this function contains many lines of code. It could contain hundreds of lines of code. So how do you tell which particular line of code causes the problem? And this is where BangU or U come into play. So BangU is from the PSS course, and this will give you the disassembly for a particular function that you specify. You pass the BangU command an address that's in that function, and it will give you the whole disassembly. And it will usually have a couple little arrows that point to the address that you pointed out, so you kind of know where in the disassembly you are whenever the problem happened. I'll do a demo of this here pretty soon. And just regular U, that's the native disassembly command. If your high CPU is in native code, you'd use U. If it's in managed code, you'd use BangU from SOS or the PSS course. So now I'll go ahead and do a quick demo of a high CPU hang. All right, so I'll start my sample application here. We will demonstrate a high CPU hang or a high CPU issue. I'm telling my application to start consuming CPU, but I'm still able to interact with it, so it doesn't appear hung. How do we know that we've got a high CPU issue? Bring up Task Manager. Go to the Processes tab and sort by CPU, and we see here that it's only consuming 12 or 13% CPU. So why would we classify this as a high CPU issue? Well, if we know that this machine has 8 cores on it, which it does, and 1 of 8 is going to be 12.5%. So 13%, 12%, that's indicative of a high CPU issue. In this case, the application isn't really hanging. We can still interact with it, but this is a high CPU issue, and we know that this particular scaled-down repro, say, of a production application isn't supposed to respond this way, so we want to go ahead and troubleshoot this. If we're in the production environment, we don't have the opportunity to necessarily attach a debugger to the process and step through what's happening. We need to get a dump of it and then do whatever it takes to get this process back up and running. Usually that's recycling it. So what we'll do is we'll pretend that we're in production here. I'll open up Debug Diag, and I want to take a look for my process name, which in this case is going to be netdebug demos. Let me just make sure that I've got the most recent activity in this panel. And so there we go. I'm going to right click on it and say create full user dump. It says it successfully dumped it. I'll go ahead and wait about 10 or 15 seconds to allow the process execution to continue, and this will let me, when I take a second dump, compare the state of the threads in the first dump to the state of the threads in the second dump to see which thread or threads are consuming the CPU, if I even need that. So I'll create my second full user dump. It's created, and now I'll go ahead and terminate the process. Okay, now we can go ahead and resume our troubleshooting. What we're going to do is we're going to take a look at the dump file that was created by going into debug diag, log files. The dump's going to be in our miscellaneous, and we see our two dump files right here taken what looks to be about 22 seconds apart. So we'll take a look at the first one and see what we can find out. All right, put this one over here on the left. Open up our second one. Put it over here on the right. I'll make sure I use the right debugger on the first one. Okay. Now what we said in the slideshow is to go ahead and run bang runaway. That's a popular command. Remember to interpret the results with a grain of salt here in case we're dealing with the situation to where it could be that the GC threads are using all the CPU. I've got PSS Core 2 loaded in my debugging session here, so what I'll do is take a look and see what flavor the GC we're using, it's workstation mode. So there's not necessarily a dedicated thread to do all of our GC. Having said that, chances are whatever thread we find here, as we know, that's in the top of Bang Runaway, is going to be the one that we want to target. As we can see here, it's a pretty easy target to take a look at thread 4 with hex ID 141C. So we'll switch over to that thread. As it turns out, with something like this, especially with a scaled down repro, and this is another example that shows that when you have a scaled down repro, it's so much easier to troubleshoot issues as opposed to a production application that may have been running for hours and hours, and then you have to come in and there may be some a lot of noise to kind of filter through to find root cause of the problem. But as with anything else, practice makes perfect. So we'll switch over to thread 4 and take a look at the call stack, our native call stack. Well, it starts out with a warning here that may give an indication that we don't have accurate symbols lined up for a native call stack. But when we see that this is all right after parts of the framework, which is MS Core Works and MS Core Lib, that gives us a good indication that this isn't a case to where the debugger can't resolve the call stack because of a lack of matching symbols. Rather, it's managed code on the top of the stack. So I'll go ahead and run our Bang CLR stack. And sure enough, we see here that we've got a few frames. Now, I understand that in most or all applications that are in production, you're not always going to be gifted with a class or a function that gives away what the problem is. But in the demonstration, we're simply trying to show you how to put all the things together and find out where to identify root cause. When I look at a situation like this in production, regardless of what the custom code is called, I will tend to focus on the custom code. It's not because our code doesn't have any bugs in it, but working at Microsoft support for so many years, I found that my chances of getting to root cause a lot sooner are going to greatly increase the more I focus on custom code. So if I have this source code, I can always just take a look in Visual Studio and see what's going on here. But what if it's a situation to where I'm working with the customer, there's an understanding, there's an agreement, a non-disclosure agreement about viewing source code, but I don't necessarily have their source code. Maybe they're having a difficult time finding it, and it's a lot easier for me to go ahead and just take a look at some pseudo code here rather than wait maybe hours or days for them to get their source code to me. Now, it may sound silly to saying wait several days for code, but I've actually had that happen on more than one occasion. So how do we get information about some of the source code without actually taking a look at the source code? From the dump file, we can use PSS Core's bang save module command to actually write out a binary that's loaded in the virtual address space out to file. And then we can use a decompiler to go ahead and take a look at the pseudo source and see if we can figure out what's going on. So let's go ahead and do that. We'll use PSS Core, in this case 2's bang save module command. And I'll say save modules, let's see, net debug demos.exe. And I want to save it out to say C temp net debug demos.exe. And it says that we successfully saved the file. So let's go ahead and take a look at this file. We'll go into C temp. There it is right there. I'm not going to actually try to run it because I may not have the right dependencies here, but I'm going to go ahead and take a look at it with a compiler. I'm using Telerik's Justy compile, which is a free download from their website, to see if we can take a look at maybe what's going on in the function that our dump file has identified as the problematic, or could be the problematic, function involved here. So it's going to be in netdebugdemos.hang.highcpu. So I'm going to go ahead and open up ctemp and expand him on out to take a look at, I believe the class name was hang. Let's just double check here. High CPU, he's at the top of the call stack. Also note here, just because a function is at the top of the call stack doesn't mean he is the one, that particular function is the one that we need to target. There are many, many cases, whether you're dealing with an exception or a hang, to where the root cause, the function that actually caused the problem, is further on down the stack. Let's take a memory situation, for example, to where you have somebody who's allocating memory but never releasing it. If you're doing this, say, through some other APIs, say in the VC libraries or something like that, they're just doing what they're told. So in terms of allocating memory, it's not necessarily their responsibility to go deallocate the memory. It's the responsibility of whoever down track actually made the allocation request. So, as I said, I tend to focus on some custom code here, although every once in a while we do have issues in the framework, but it's not common. So I'm going to come in here and take a look at the high CPU source code. And if you ever want to demonstrate how to cause a lot of consumption of CPU, just have a big loop within another loop, and that's sure to get it done for you. So in this particular case, we see here that we've got a while loop that's never going to end. And inside there is another for loop, and it just goes on and on. So that's sure to go ahead and spin up our CPU. And again, this is just a very simple scale-down repro of how to cause a problem. The focus is not on how to look through many, many lines of code and solve a very tricky issue. It's more about how to put all the tools in play that we've discussed to put you in a position to go ahead and find root cause. This is a very simple sample, obviously. There's only a few lines of code here. But what if there were lots and lots of lines of code? How would we necessarily identify which line of code is root cause? And we talked about how we would use the bang u command. So let's take a look here and see if that helps us. Even though there's only a few lines of code in our source, you want to take your instruction pointer here for the function of interest. Go ahead and copy that. And we'll use PSS Core2's bang u command for that particular function. Now, the address that we gave was 551496, which is right here. If you've got lots and lots of assembly involved here, scrolling through page after page can be difficult. So these little arrows on the left-hand side make it easy to identify which address you gave to your SOS command. I see here that there's a call to set priority. So it happened after that. And there's another call here to get current thread. So it's somewhere between set priority and get current thread. Here we're setting our priority. No obvious call to get current thread. And by the way, the reason that we lower the priority and then raise it is because there have been times to where if you don't do this, you hang the whole box, and now you can't. You're in such a tight loop that you can't. It's difficult to break in and get the dump file. Are there any other clues in our disassembly? Well, we see a jump not equal here and a jump less than instruction. So if we take a look at our source for some comparisons between something is less than and something that's not equal to, we see that there's a not equal to probably right here. And there's the only less than that I see. So the line that's executing whenever we got the dump was on an increment, which looks like we were right about here. Not that obviously this is the particular line that's causing the problem, but just an exercise to help demonstrate how bang u can help us out. Obviously, the problem here is a while loop that just spins and never ends and consumes all our CPU. But it's fun sometimes after you find root cause to see what else you can learn. So that's a quick demo of how we at Microsoft Support troubleshoot CPU hangs in a production environment. You make sure you got tools on the box that can get a dump. You get your dump file during the high CPU symptoms, then load them in the debugger and debug away. We'll see you next time here on .NET debugging for the production environment.